This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Aistars. He may be teaching in academia now, but for 10 years, Dustin M. Hoffman painted houses in Michigan. Hoffman's story collection, 100 Knuckled Fist, won the Prairie Schooner Prize for his gritty portrayal of painters, carpenters, roofers, firemen, ice cream truck drivers, the homeless, and the retired. In short, for the invisible 99%.
We often come to fiction for escapism. We want to see some kind of life that is more interesting than our own, maybe a little more opulent than our own, or something surreal or fantastic. But I think this is a mistake a lot of, especially the writers I teach, make, that readers are actually very interested in this world, and there can be escapism in the 9-to-5 as well. It's one we don't imagine right away, because we want to get away from our 9-to-5s and this boring drudgery of work that we do. So that's one theory I have on it, at least.
I've often thought when I watch TV that all the shows are lawyers and doctors and police officers. Why don't we pay more attention to the blue-collar worker? Their lives are just as interesting. And you certainly have shown that. And you've done some of that yourself. Was it 10 years as a painter?
Yeah, I spent 10 years painting houses, and probably about 7 of those years it was full-time, 40 to 70 hours a week. Of course, in Michigan, it was feast or famine, pretty common in the Midwest. The winters, we really would slow down. And it was an interesting time to be doing construction as well. I was doing it up until 2007, so right up against that housing bubble, the recession, and near the end of my career, 2004 to 2006, we couldn't build houses fast enough. I was doing like new residential construction. And then a weird thing happened, like just as I was leaving, but we all know now, those houses went into foreclosure, and whole subdivisions would have for sale signs out front or foreclosure signs, which I'm glad I got out of it, but a lot of my friends lost their jobs. And in some ways it was like a little sense of guilt that I had a piece of this, you know, helping build these kind of irresponsible houses. So anyway, that's kind of really drawn me into this world.
And what do you think about the importance of work in developing our identities, our personalities? Because, you know, a lot of times you hear these sayings of you're not what you do. And I've always puzzled over that, because I've thought, you know, I don't know that we can separate it. If we bring any kind of passion to our work, surely it does somehow intersperse with who we are. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think work is completely formative for character in fiction, at least. As a fiction writer, I think about it. What better way to show a character than them at work, where they're doing something? You know, there's that old phrase of making a living. That's one I think about a lot. How could this not be so much of who you are when it's how you survive?
And exactly, yeah.
Take care of yourself and your family and all of that. But I think it's in the doing we especially find ourselves. Joseph Conrad has a great quote from Heart of Darkness, which now I don't have on hand, but it goes something like, no one can really know a man. It's all in the work, and it's how you find yourself in this work, which I've always found fascinating. Like, no one knows you except yourself at work in this moment of doing this thing.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Aistars. Dustin M. Hoffman has long been fascinated with the invisibility of the blue-collar worker.
Well, here's my other favorite quote about work, which is at the front of my book, from George Orwell. And so he says, all people who work with their hands are partly invisible, and the more important the work they do, the less visible they are. Hmm. And, you know, that was true all those years ago, and I think it's all the more true now. The answer to why this invisibility happens, I'm not sure. Orwell was interested in exploring it. I think that's a reason why I had to write this book, is I'm still trying to figure out this mystery as well. Like, why these people that are so essential and important, why we don't give them a closer look or more recognition. It speaks to all of us. I mean, who is not trying to be recognized for the hard work that they do? I think the difference, though, is at least with these people building houses, I'd call them artists, fantastic craftsmen, but they never got to put their signature on everything. And if you're good at what you do, no one should know you were ever there. And that was the goal. Like with a painter, you caulk and fill all the nail holes and roll the walls out with this perfect texture so that no one can ever notice a brush stroke or a roller mark. You know, you are completely invisible if you've done your job correctly.
That's a good point. If we're thinking about you, you probably messed up on something.
Yeah.
Or is it, I wonder too, is it a thing that we don't really want to look in the mirror? That maybe they're closer to the grit of life. And, you know, we probably have more facades and masks as we move up that social ladder. And they show us who we really are. Or am I getting too deep here?
I like it, Zinta. I think you're onto something. You know, I'm in academia now. You know, I've been teaching for since 2007, and I love this world. I would not, I would not go back to the other world. But at times, I miss the frank honesty, the gritty crassness, the kind of the lack of worrying about anyone's feelings in a way. And that got us to be really close with the people I worked with. But yeah, there are definitely a lot less masks. And it really all gets kind of torn down when you're working next to one person doing this very difficult manual labor for, maybe 14 hours in a row. Well, you can't hide anything. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
14 hours of doing this, there's no time to be politically correct, or it's all going to spill out at some point. And I do. I miss that a little bit, but I can come back to it in my fiction.
Before I let you go, Dustin, I'd love for you to read just a little excerpt so that we can get a taste of that fine writing.
I would be happy to do that. I was thinking I'd read the first three paragraphs. They're pretty short ones. This would be the first three paragraphs of 100 Knuckled Fist. We tore up the earth in the yard of a three-story, 4,000-square-footer in Swinging Willow subdivision. We backhoed a gash through the silky sod, brown like a week-old scab, red at the center. That hole in the Glavin family's front lawn was a big dig, so deep it split us into pieces, and we were never right again. We were making a fountain, the Glavins willing to shell out 15 grand to piddle a Zen waterfall down their front lawn's downgrade, to sparkle diamonds in their eyes from the big bay window large as the sky. They could have just looked outside from 7 to 5 and seen our half dozen torsos, bare chests gleaming sweat, pocked with clay. Because we dug earth, because we heaved shovels, because we hauled it away in the back of Rex's not-so-shiny 92 Dodge Ram, our skin never stopped sparkling. We couldn't tear away enough layers to cool down. No one works harder than the hardscaping boys. Won't catch us snipping copper and tugging carpet and swinging brushes inside an air-conditioned house.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Dustin M. Hoffman, the author of 100 Knuckled Fist. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.